Good afternoon, Muskegon. It's March the 3rd, 2023. It's 2:01, 35 degrees, and it's time for the show Torn into your show for news, information, and more. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Pastor Melvin, you take a day off, man. You got a lot on your plate, and we appreciate your dedication to the show. As what we've been doing is we have been talking about issues that we don't like to talk about that face our community. And you know what? I don't care if our numbers run shy. If you want to continue to put your hand in the sand, okay. But if you want to continue to put your hand in the sand, that to pretend like domestic violence doesn't happen and all the other things that we've been covering, if you want to run away from them, that is your choice, but we're going to continue to address them. Why? Because they're happening. It is not a mistake that, you know, coming here on the radio station and other radio stations and on news, they're running PSAs, public service announcements about domestic violence, molestation. All this stuff is happening in our community. Drug abuse that's happening in our community. Crime is happening in our community. And we're running away from the issue. Last week, I shared how I'm a survivor of domestic violence. You know, and the thing is, crickets. In other words, nobody wants to talk about it. But yet, if you look on the police runs, they are running so many calls on domestic violent calls, and we continue to run from the issue. Matter of fact, so that the thing that I want to express when we talk about domestic violence is it doesn't discriminate. It knows no gender. I mean, it hits every neighborhood. Let's go Muskegon, Muskegon Heights, Muskegon Township, North Muskegon, Whitehall, you name it. It has no color. We have a problem. And this is not a problem that's just happened in Muskegon County. It happens everywhere. And if we can talk to people before tragedy happens, lately, a suicide guy, you know, kills his wife, a child, and then himself. Another case of a person burning down the house. I mean, these issues are not rare issues. They're happening every day. Before I get my guests on, I want to introduce who's going to be on next week. We're going to take a break from our subject and go on to the next subject. Our next guest next week, we haven't talked to him for a while. We wanted to get him on, is the mayor of Muskegon, Ken Johnson, to get an update. And then we're diving back, and we're hitting hard. Why? Because it faces our community. Our guest today, oh, man, and we were supposed to have Every Woman's Place. They had a unforeseen conflict, and we'll try to get them on. But thank you, Terry Johnson. I was able to pick up this person here. Tracy currently works for the Friend of the Court as a counselor. I'm going to let her just tell you about herself. As I always say, and I know I shouldn't, but I do, put your hands together for Tracy Bankhead. How you doing, Tracy?
I'm good. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for taking this on, and you took it on at the last second. Tell Muskegon and tell the world, because we're on Facebook, WVS, for all you people that may have questions. 103.7 The Beat or M106. We're on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, WVS 103.7 The Beat LP. You name, we're on the Emoji app. Matter of fact, we'll run that down at the bottom of the hour to tell you about that app. Tracy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I am Tracy Bankhead. I am a family court counselor and supervisor with the Friend of Court. I've been there for 10 years. I am originally from Indiana, so I'm not a native, but I married a Muskegonite.
You married a huge one, so you make you a Muskegonite.
Yes. So I say I am now from Muskegon. I have been working with the Friend of Court, as I said, for 10 years, doing various jobs there. But before that, I worked as a prosecutor for 4 years, prosecuting domestic violence. That was my caseload. So it is one of my passions. Since living here, I previously was on the board of Every Woman's Place. They are a great resource for Muskegon County. And so I've done that. Johnny and I have 5 kids, all grown. So it's just us now. And,
oh, what a great feeling being an empty nester.
Yes. And so that's me. Recently sat for the bar, so I'm hoping to do more for Muskegon, working in domestic violence, in the family court, just to be a resource to our community.
Okay. So your record is extensive. You said you're originally from Indiana. Mm-hmm. And how long did you do? You said you worked in Indiana?
I worked as a prosecutor for 4 years.
Wow. So you're coming with experience as a prosecutor, as a counselor, and you mentioned a couple other things. So I really want people to know, I mean, you were on the board of Every Woman's Place. I volunteered at Every Woman's Place. That was some years ago. Okay, so your record is extensive in domestic violence.
Yes, I've done tons of training. I'm not on the board anymore, but I have done a lot of training in domestic violence. And even the Friend of Court, they are currently getting a grant going that we've received to look at domestic violence and how it impacts systems like child support, because it does. It impacts everything. And I don't think people understand that, the impact that it can have. Okay. So I continue to keep my hands in that wherever I can.
Okay, so let's talk about, we were talking before the show about a family member that you didn't even know that suffered from it. And how often is this case? Because in our family's case, it was happening everywhere, but nobody was talking about it.
And as we were talking about before the show, in the Black community, it's things that you don't talk about. Mm-hmm. We know it happens, but we don't talk about it. We don't like to bring people into our family. We don't want to bring the police into our family. We don't discuss it. Same thing with, you were talking about sexual abuse. All of those issues, we don't want to discuss those things because we don't want people in our business. But we have to pull the cover off of those things if we ever want to eradicate them.
Right.
And, you know, back in, you know, when, again, talking about our community, we didn't bring the people in. We may call I'll call my brother and he'll take care of it, or I'll call, you know,
right,
handle it on the inside. And again, that's not going to eradicate the issue, because it'll continue to happen. I see it in my work now, and I have to, before I do any conferences with families to talk about child support or parenting time, custody, before I put two people together, I screen those people. to be sure that there is no domestic violence, because domestic violence is about power and control. And so if there are issues of domestic violence, you're going to have someone who doesn't feel free to say what they want to say about any of those issues because there's fear of that other party. And so it impacts everything. It impacts everything.
Break that power and control thing down, because that's so important.
So people think, you know, that it's about violence. It's not about the violence. It's about being able to control the other person. And there's, and I'm sure when you have Every Woman's Place on, they'll talk about it. There's a power and control wheel. And there's a pattern in the way that domestic violence works. So, you know, there's a honeymoon period, you have the blow up, but then there's a honeymoon period and they're apologetic and they're, you know, making you feel all loved again and all of those things. And it just builds back up again until there's another episode. And it could be, you know, a week, it could be less than a week. It could, you know, you just don't know when those episodes, well, people that are in it, they do know, they can tell how it builds. But the other issue with it is that people become accustomed to that type of relationship. And they, even the survivors of domestic violence, they can become accustomed to that. And they may feel like if someone's not putting their hands on them, they don't love them, which is, I'm sure you know, is really backwards, but that's how it internalizes into people.
Oh yeah, there I know this for a fact, that there are people out there, men and women, that feel that if there's no turmoil out there, there's no love there, which is, it is twisted, you think, but that's all they know. I mean, that's how their parents grew up, their grandparents grew up. They, you know, it was that fish fry and that music on Friday night, and the next thing you know, everybody fighting. But that's all they know.
That's all they know. Right. And people will say, you know, well, it couldn't be me. Don't say it couldn't be me if you've never been in that position, first of all. That's one thing they'll say. Or they'll say, well, why doesn't he or why doesn't she just leave? That is one of my biggest pet peeves, because there, as I said, there's a cycle to this. And on the average, it takes a victim 7 times leaving before they will stay gone.
Please say that again.
It takes a victim an average of 7 times before they leave and stay gone. And that period of leaving, that decision of leaving and that period of leaving, is the most dangerous time in a domestic violence situation.
What about finances? Because the lack of finances, people stay in relationships.
People will stay for that. Well, and there's another thing. Domestic violence isn't just someone putting their hands on you. Domestic violence incorporates finances. It incorporates, you know, your partner keeping you away from other people, so that you aren't having relationships with people on the outside. It's all kinds of things can be violent, can be seen as violence. That doesn't mean they're putting their hands on you. It could be emotional violence. It can be so many different things. People think that if you don't have a black eye, that you aren't in a domestic violence relationship. And that's just not the case. And it's not just adults. It's happening with our teenagers. And they don't view it that way. I did a seminar with some teenagers on dating violence before. This was when I was in Indiana, and I was speaking. It was a room of young ladies, and I was speaking with them. They were 14, 15. And I asked them if they'd ever been in that kind of dating relationship. And a young lady raised her hand. She was like, I have, she said, but my mouth is slick, so I probably deserved it. And she believed that. And I had to dispel that for her. No one deserves that. No one deserves that. And so we have to think and know that it's not just our adults. It's our children as well that are dealing with it. And with the adults, when I was doing my prosecution work, I used to always say, the children are the victims that no one talks about in the courtroom.
Talk, not speak now.
Because they're witnessing it. And oftentimes what you will see is the perpetrator is in the home. These children are witnessing this. They're either going to repeat the behavior or they're going to become a victim because they're going to seek out. You know, that's what they saw. That's what they saw between mom and daddy. So it can't be wrong if no one's explaining that to them and no one's showing them anything different.
And the thought is some kind of attention is better than no attention, that quote, that's what they think.
That's what they think.
So they think that if we're not fighting, we're not arguing, if we're not, if he's not mentally or she's not mentally abusing me, there's no love there.
That's what they think. Yeah. Because as you said, that's what they know. And, you know, I know it, that's not the case. I've been with Johnny 11 years. We don't fuss and fight like that. I mean, I wouldn't know what to think if he called me out of my name or something like that, because that would be foreign to me.
And I think that would be the last time that he would do that, so he wouldn't do that. You might be right.
So, yeah, I think, again, it needs to be a subject. I hate that you had to say, you know, it's crickets when you start talking about things like this that impact our community. Because it shouldn't be crickets. People should want to talk about these issues to see what we can do to change it, because you're absolutely right. It's a different time. People have always been dying, but now you're seeing the cases, like you said, you know, the husband or wife, they kill their spouse. I'm a big ID Channel fan. I watch it all the time.
Oh, me too.
And we'll say to each other, golly, it's that many people killing their husbands and why, you know, killing each other, and enough that they can have a TV show that continues to run.
Several TV shows that continue to run.
People watch it, but we won't do anything to address it.
It's so bad that even it just happened recently where there was a shooting that a man had divorced his wife several years. And I mean, you think that it would be over. The next thing you know, he's going shooting after her at a dance club.
And again, because it's not about the relationship, it's about the control.
Wow.
I need to control you.
Okay, so let's break this down. Let's start with the kids first and work our way up to mom and pa, okay?
Okay.
You talked about this affecting the kids, like myself, that you grow up and this is all you see. And how do you see it being a counselor, how it affects the kids?
Well, they have scars that you don't see because they've had to watch mom hit dad or dad hit mom, whatever the case may be. And if they never deal with that trauma at some point in their life, it's going to come back. And they're going to see that coping mechanism that their parent used, and they're going to think it's a valid coping mechanism. And it may come out in school, you know, you have kids who that's their go-to resolution of issues, is to hit someone or to degrade them. And so, but that's, again, that's what they learn. Kids are, my pastor always says, you know, their hard drive is being written on every day. And we are creating what they will be as adults by what we do and what we say. They're going to learn more from what they see us do than what they hear us say.
So that you take a blank slate and we're actually drawing and painting their, like you said, their hard drive is empty, and what they're picking up is what they think is normal or survival skills, which gets taken to school or other places.
Yeah, and that's with any behaviors, whether we're talking about domestic violence, whether we're talking about racism, whether we're talking about any of those things. Kids come here not knowing any of that. If a child is born and they're never exposed to racism and they're never exposed to domestic violence and they're never exposed to drugs and alcohol and all of the negative things that can impact our communities, what would the next generation look like if we could impact the world that way, where kids come here and we aren't putting all of our stuff on them, because that's what we do, especially if we don't deal with it, if we don't. Another thing in our community, and it's beautiful to me that it's been changing, especially since COVID, the whole idea of therapy and getting help and talking to someone and addressing the traumas that we experienced as children and as we grew up. It's absolutely wonderful to see that now, but that didn't happen when I was growing up. We didn't talk. If you mentioned therapy to someone, the first thing is, oh, I'm not crazy. It has nothing to do with being crazy. If you have traumas in your life that you haven't dealt with, you walk around with this baggage and you enter into relationship with other people and you both have baggage that's been not dealt with. And so you're just there with all these bags and eventually it's coming out.
So now you got, it's like Erykah Badu, bag lady. And, right. You know, you're carrying all this baggage. And it's just going from relationship to relationship. And isn't it amazing that our country is getting more violent because of issues that were not dealt with different individuals because of how they grew up? In other words, put some dirt in the kid, get back in the game.
Right. Yeah. Dust yourself off and keep going. Yep. Don't address it and how it impacted you. Don't do that. But, you know, anything that's on the inside eventually is going to come out in one way or another. And I was always one. I grew up being a people pleaser. I didn't want to upset people. Things that happen, I push it down. But eventually, you don't have any room to push things down anymore. And I think during COVID, when we were all, you know, quarantined and in the house, and then on top of that, you had a White House that was what it was, and people began to explode. And the domestic violence numbers during COVID were crazy. And you spoke about the arrest list, you know, during the day. I get a jail list every day, and I see the people who are arrested, and you're absolutely, it was domestic violence, drugs, and alcohol. That's what you saw every day.
Every day, those numbers are tremendous. And adults, people that say, well, It doesn't happen to me. It doesn't affect my family. We don't do it. But then, you know, somebody's got to pay for those jails and those prisons and all that kind of stuff. So you holding your head in the sand does affect you.
Yeah. And you holding your head in the sand doesn't make the problem go away. And people don't want to address it until it's right at their doorstep. And I say that about everything. I said that about the police shootings. I say that about this. Until it's right at their doorstep, people don't want to talk about it. Until it's them, until it's their child or someone that they're close to, it's not their problem. And you'll see on the news when things happen and people will say, well, I've never thought that we would deal with that in our neighborhood. Well, why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. When it's happening right next door, but it's quiet.
Right.
And everything's on the down low.
In the poor neighborhoods, it happens in the rich neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you add money to a situation. It's not necessarily drugs and alcohol. It could be finance.
Absolutely.
Bills, whatever, and you take a generation of people that don't know conflict resolution, and you now all of a sudden you got problems.
Right. And you, where you have the more affluent households, you might have folks who might say, I don't want to change my standard of living, so I may want to just suck it up and not make it mad or not. You know what I'm saying? Just as it, you know, where you have the money, or if you're poor, I can't make it on my own out there. So I just gotta, you know.
Or you've been told by the person that wants to maintain power, you can't make it out there. As it's because of me that you're making it out there. Nobody will like you. You're ugly. You're fat. You're this, that. So they stay.
And the other part of that that no one wants to talk about is our families will tell us to stay.
Break that down.
Because
I know what you're that saying.
That man took care of you. That man bought you a house. That man did that. You need to quit making him mad. You need, and you're made to feel wrong for not wanting to be in that situation anymore.
As well as the kids are made, they feel that it's their fault because mommy and daddy might break up.
Right. Now, kids will make it their fault. Kids, I will tell people this because I deal with families every day, but things that go on, if a couple breaks up, they have children, or things are going on in the household, children find a way to make it their fault. They believe it's their fault. And no one explains it to them that it's not their fault what's going on. These are adult problems. But our adults also, they bring children into their problems.
Oh my, oh my. Listen, we are talking to Tracy Bankhead, a counselor at Friend of the Family Court. It's the bottom of the hour, and Lady J, we are going to run commercial break right now, and then we're going to come back and talk about the adult side. You are watching and listening to Torn In Two on 103.7 to BM106. We'll see you in a couple of seconds.
The second annual I Am Her Feminine Hygiene Drive, supporting young ladies from Ghana, Africa, in need of everyday essentials and feminine hygiene products, was a great success. Thanks to the generosity of our community and organizations like Period.org, Muskegon Heights Public School Academy, Camphidic Cosmetics, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Inc., and everyone who made a contribution, hundreds of young ladies and village members received essential items. The community made a lasting impact with more than 10,000 sanitation items donated. If you would like to help, donations can be made year-round by dropping off items in the donation shed at the Mazen Wright Media Center, located at 1877 Peck Street, or making a contribution to paypal.me/1037thebeats. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Thank you for supporting I Am Her Foundation.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 Black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically Black and proud media, from podcasts to independent Black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
We're back, and let me bring Tracy in. Tracy, you're preaching so good, I think we're going to pass the plate. I mean, you're getting really deep, but it's what we need to talk about. So you're a child, you're going through domestic violence, you're scared of the parents, you don't want to bother somebody, but you're being affected. What should they do?
The child?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it's deep, because what I've been telling people is that if you're a child and if you're involved in a situation, seek somebody and get results and keep trying to find somebody until you get something.
Right. A safe space.
A safe space.
Right. Someone that they can talk to. And again, it has to be, and depending on the age of the child, to determine if it's someone that is at safe space and isn't going to make the situation worse.
Worse. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Talk a little bit about that of a good person or somebody making it worse.
Well, someone making it worse is, you know, someone who's going to barrel down the door. And because, again, we're a community of, I remember my mom used to always say, what goes on in this house stays in this house.
Yep. And it's still being said.
And so, you know, a child is in a position where if they talk to someone who's going to out them for talking to them, and it gets back to mom and dad, and it could be a dangerous situation for the child.
What you mean? Somebody said my sister or my brother? Oh, I'm going over there. Now you got vigilante,
right?
Family violence.
Instead of just being a safe space for that child, allowing that child to know you are safe here. If you need to talk to me, I'm here to talk to you. Or and also someone being willing. I mean, because some situations can be really volatile. And so you have to be someone also who's willing, if you're the person that a child comes to, not acting rashly, but determining what can I do to help this child? And being willing to say or make the determination, okay, is this something I need to intervene in on this child's behalf, and how do I do that safely?
If you think that's something that happened just a couple weeks ago, I was running around the church doing something, and I was talking to this woman, and she said that she had an awful morning. The person was calling her names, her spouse, and all kinds of stuff. My first question was, is it safe for you to be or go back home? Oh, yep. He's never hit me. He's never did anything. So that was my first question to that person. That's usually my first question anytime. And that I get it all the time. Are you safe? Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're not safe, you're definitely not going back there. Like you said, it takes seven times. So the thing is that you have to be a rational thinking person, because you might cause more damage. Absolutely. By opening up your mouth. In other words, going over to that house with a dustbuster blowing off their business, and your house is worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have people that will judge a survivor of domestic violence for not getting out or whatever. But like you said, you sweep around your own front door before you worry about what's going on over here. If you're not trying to help, at least don't harm. And judging and belittling people because of the situation that they're in is not helpful. I dealt with a lot of victims of domestic violence. And as a prosecutor, it can be frustrating because a lot of times cases will have to be dropped because they won't appear in court or they won't, and that kind of thing. And until I started learning about domestic violence and all that is entailed with that relationship dynamic, I was one who was like, well, I'm trying to help, and if they don't want me to help, this is what you're choosing. And until you learn and know better, you'll continue to have that mindset. And so I determined in myself, I'm going to learn about this so that I know the why.
And that's one of the reasons why the rules have changed in Michigan. It used to be a person would deal with domestic violence on Friday and Monday saying that they don't want to press charges. They don't deal with that anymore.
No. And that's about every state.
Now every state now.
Yeah. We don't dismiss a case because of that. But here's the very real issue is, you have to, unless you have, you know, witnesses and photos and all that stuff, that's your witness.
This happens, which boggles my mind. That person that got beat will actually skip that jail time. I mean, skip that trial, and they end up facing jail time. Because it's love, I don't want to see that person go to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. You will have that. I had a case, a young woman, I mean, she was beaten brutally with, what are they called? Brass knuckles. She had staples in her head. It looked like a murder scene. And when she was released from the hospital about a week later, she came to my office wanting me to drop the charges.
How many times, how often do you see that?
I saw it a lot. But once I started to learn, as I said, the dynamics of domestic violence, but again, involved in that was drugs and alcohol and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still frustrating because you want, that person is a danger. The perpetrator is a danger to society, not just that person that's in the relationship with them. Because if it's not the person they're currently with, it's going to be the person they're going to be with next. Just like it was the person they were with before they were with the current person, because that's their MO. That's how they're dealing with things. Whatever has led them to be a perpetrator of domestic violence is something they need to address. And until they address it, they'll continue to repeat that cycle with whoever they're with.
So, okay, now, so we've talked about children and what they see. Children are a blank slate, or their hard drive is empty. What they see starts to get full of negative violence. All this kind of stuff is what should be involved in a family unit. They don't know what a normal family is. Now, let's talk about adults, because this happens to men. It happens to women that get abused. Let's talk about the abuser, people being abused.
The victims?
The victims.
Man.
I know it's so much. It is.
I'm not a expert on domestic violence. I've just learned a lot in doing the work. And what I've seen is victims, sometimes they end up in that position totally on a fluke. They've never been in that type of relationship before, and then they meet someone they think is great. Because when you meet someone, you don't meet that person. You meet their representative.
Please say that again. Oh, my gosh. Say that again.
And I can't take credit for that. One of my coworkers, he would say that, and it always stuck with me. But you meet their representative. You're meeting who they want you to think you are going to be in a relationship with.
You mean the very best. That person is projecting, because this is the eHarmony generation. That person is projecting all this nice stuff. You're getting roses, flowers, love notes.
Dinner, all kinds of stuff. You know, I love you. I'm this, you know. But, you know, everybody's on their best behavior because they're meeting your representative too. So right. Everybody's on their best behavior. And then when you start to move into whatever the next phase is where, you know, okay, we're exclusive now and that kind of thing. The thing about it is you meet their representative, but the signs are always.
The red flags are there.
They're there. We have a way of ignoring them or pretending they're not really there. Well, that can't be what I saw. No, you're being over dramatic. Because we want to see the best in people.
But usually your intuition is right.
Usually your intuition is right.
So you got these people that, first of all, as I've talked to anyone that I've coached or been in church with or whatever, this is what I've said to them. If you can't go to a movie by yourself or shopping or out by yourself, in other words, if you don't love yourself and feel that you have to have somebody on your arm, then there's a problem. You got to love to learn yourself and respect yourself before you go out there and shop yourself.
Because if you love, if you truly love yourself, and I think at some point we all have had issues with that. But if you truly love yourself, you won't allow that kind of behavior
right
around you. But like I said, people have these scars, whether they're from childhood, whether they're from, you know, what they grew up seeing and what they perceive as normal, because that's all they saw. We see it as people who have never experienced it. Like myself, we see it as dysfunction, but for them it's normal. So it's not dysfunctional for them. It's their functional. It works for them to a certain level. And they'll forgive. They don't forget because those scars are there and they will carry them all of their life unless and until they deal with it.
So if you're in a relationship, how true is this statement? If you're in a relationship, you're mentally and physically being abused. That nothing has changed. How important is that you get out and you run right away to a safe space?
Well, first of all, you have to determine that it's safe to get out. You have to have a plan. And that's where places like Every Woman's Place is vital, because they will assist victims of domestic violence with getting a plan in place, creating a safety plan to make sure that they can get out safely and have somewhere to go. And again, it's not always with family, because, you know,
because family, like you said,
that's your house too. You need to go back home. You know.
Well, talk a little bit about that plan, because what we did in our family was is that we ended up, he left to go somewhere, and next day, we were heading to Washington, D.C. to get away from the situation. You got to have a plan with people, a safe people that are going to take care of you to get you healthy, instead of you running to somebody that you're just running. You did a 360 instead of a 180.
Right. And, you know, I think about when you said that, I thought about, I don't know if you remember the Tina Turner movie that wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where she was running away, and her mama telling Ike where she's at, or, you know, that she's left with the kids. So you got to know your people. You got to know who your people are. And when I say your people, I don't necessarily mean your relatives. I mean your tribe, those that are going to keep you safe and allow you to get out safely. You know, set up code words with family and friends, or, you know, or people who are your safe people, to be able to let them know things aren't right over here. I need somebody to come, you know, because you might not be able to text, you know, hey, this is going on, because oftentimes in domestic violence situations, they're monitoring your phone. They're monitoring where you go, the gas in the car, the mileage on the car, there are apps out there.
Yeah, there are apps
that do everything.
But there are also apps that you can hit that let 911 and safety people know that you're in trouble.
Yes.
That once you hit that app, it just start recording everything. And it looks like a regular app.
It looks like a regular app.
You just don't tell anybody what that app stands for. Because, like you said, it's about power. That person's going to beat through your phone, know about the car, know where you've been, check where you work, call you 52 times, and that's just in one day.
Just in one day.
Now, talk to the abuser. I know a guy, I was talking to a guy that will not get in a relationship because he's afraid that he's going to do what his dad did. Dad was abusive. He doesn't know, all that's all he knows. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you know what? Me and you are going to partner up. And we're going to work together to get you through this, because he's a good guy. But all he knows is what he's seen on that hard drive.
Right. And I commend you for being that person for him. I would also say, you know, if he feels like he has those things down inside of him, seek out professional help. It doesn't make you crazy. It absolutely makes you sane for trying to make yourself whole. You can't. People often talk about, you know, that's my better half. No, we come together as two whole people. But if we are both dealing with trauma and stuff we have never dealt with, all that baggage, eventually it's going to show up in our relationship. And I will say, I would say to him, not every person that has grown up in that environment turns out to mirror that environment. It doesn't happen to everyone. If he has that fear, because, you know, there are people I've known who has said, you know, my goal is was always to not be that guy. And they lived that out in their lives. But if he has a fear about it, absolutely talk to someone. Because he deserves happiness. He deserves a relationship if that's what he wants.
Right.
But he has to make sure he's whole in doing that.
That's good. That's good. So, the great thing of what you said is that he is seeking help. And that for a lot of people, this is generational curses. I mean, dad did it, grandma did it, great-great-grand. It's just generational curses. Yeah. Everybody did it. Around you, family, that's all you see. But the thing is that it does not make it right.
No.
Okay, say I'm living next door in pots, pans, glass being broke, and I'm sitting up. I'm not calling 911. I'm just going to sit up here.
Because I wrote down to say something. So that's the other thing. It goes back to the, if you see something, say something.
Say it.
If you know, we're a culture of, that ain't none of my business. I ain't getting involved. That ain't none of my business. And it's not right. How do you stand by? Or if you have someone close to you and you suspect that they are being abused, or if your boy or your girl, you know, they hit on a significant other, you've seen them degrade them in public, check them. Because otherwise,
you're
allowing it in your presence. You're no better than they are.
I'm wearing a shirt that says silence equals compliance. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the board. Benita, how you doing? She says, Greg, I appreciate you diving into the tough topic. She says, Tracy, thank you for your transparency.
You are very welcome.
So time is just flying. So we got 8 minutes. How do you solve the world's problems in 8 minutes?
God. I would just to give you a couple numbers before we get off of here. 36.1%. This is from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. 36.1% of Michigan women and 25.8% of Michigan men experience intimate partner physical violence, intimate partner rape, and or intimate partner stalking in their lives.
Say that again, please, because I want people to really hear those numbers.
36.1% of Michigan women and 25.8% of Michigan men experience intimate partner physical violence, intimate partner rape, and intimate partner stalking in their lives. And please don't get it twisted. Just because you're in a relationship with someone, just because you are married to someone, you can still be raped. So there's that. In a single day in 2019, Michigan domestic violence programs provided services to 3,204 adult and child survivors in a day.
In a day.
In a day.
And let's make it perfectly clear. Those numbers are low. Those are just the reported numbers.
Those are the reported numbers. Yeah.
So those numbers are much, much, much higher.
Yes. And again, you've said it, but I want to, because for a long time, it's been a thought that women are victims of, and men are absolutely victims. Here's the thing. Men have this hurdle, that self-imposed hurdle, that they have to deal with, that because they don't want to let their boys know that they're getting beat up on by their woman or abused by their woman. They don't want that out there. So the number of those being reported, I'm sure, is absolutely minimal. You see it more, now. But it not nearly what it should be.
Now, this actually happened to me in our neighborhood. I was sleeping, and there is a bunch of people that stayed at this house. This woman ran into our house, ran upstairs to find somebody safe, and came to me and said she was being jumped on. Now, my first thing was get out of my bedroom so I can get some clothes on. But she came, and the thing was, is when I came out to the middle of the street, he's going, oh, she's just crazy, she's just this. And I'm like, you can say that, but I'm calling the police. And that's what we did. We called the police. I'll talk a little bit about that, and we got another question I want to get to.
Okay. I commend you for responding to her and not being the, that's none of my business, I'm not getting involved. The least a person can do is pick up the phone and call law enforcement. Let them figure it out. No one's telling you to get in the middle of it and put yourself in danger or anything like that. But if you hear something, if you hear someone screaming, if you hear any of that, my husband was telling me, I forget where he said he was. I think he was still driving over the road then, but he saw a guy, he was beating up his girlfriend out in public. And because it's gotten that blazing.
And a lot of people just go, none of our business.
Yep, and go the other way. Yeah, so yes, just do something.
Let's go to the board. Benita says exactly, we need to be able to report abuse, domestic violence in all situations, and start to reverse the pattern and heal the physical and the mental wounds. Absolutely. Thank you, Benita.
Absolutely. And that goes the same thing with children being abused. I know we're talking about adults, but again, it goes back to, if you see something, if you suspect something, do something. Don't wait until you see it on the news and be sitting at home like, I thought something was going on. I knew something was going on. That doesn't help anybody.
That helps no one. That helps no one. All right. So, Tracy, we got 2 minutes. Okay. Talk to all people involved. What should they do? Their 1-800 numbers, their place like Every Woman's Place, whole project, Child Abuse Council, Fresh Coast. I mean, there's so many people out there.
Right. I would say if you are a victim of domestic violence, don't be afraid to seek out help. Even if you aren't ready to leave yet, start to get your plan in place. Every Woman's Place has a crisis line, 231-722-3333. Call them. They will get you together.
What's that number again?
231-722-3333.
Okay.
That's their crisis hotline. Get yourself a plan in place. Like I said, even if you're not ready yet to leave, start working on that and seek some help to deal with those scars that you have, the scars you can see and the scars that you don't. If you are a perpetrator of domestic violence, check yourself and then get some help to deal with that.
Right.
Because you're not only hurting your immediate victim, you're hurting yourself.
And future generations.
And future generations.
Tracy, would you come back on the show?
Absolutely.
It's 3:00. I know we're touching these issues. You think they may hurt, but imagine being somebody in this relationship. Thank you, Tracy, so much. And we're going to get you back on the show to talk about other issues. You have become part of my tribe.
All right. I'll do that.
All right. Tell your husband I said hello.
I will tell him. You have a great day, Greg.
All right. Listen, everybody. It's the end of the show. It's been a great show. Share this with somebody. Put this on your Facebook page, because I guarantee you, you know somebody that is facing domestic violence. It's the weekend. Go sow a seed in somebody's life, a positive seed, because you never know who you might impact. Take care and God bless.